many a time. Never tire of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm, wonderful word, word of promise. Magnificent to us. My text is going to come from Proverbs 14:26. I'll read that too. But Psalm 23, let's hear now God's word, dear people of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My text is from Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Dear Jesus, we pray once again this day that thou will be present with us to strengthen, to bolster our faith and our courage, to note well that we belong to God through faith in your heavenly name. Bless us in this evening hour, we ask in your name. Amen. Well, as has been determined by the psalmist through inspiration, and others have picked up on this as well, in Psalm 23, in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This place has been called the shadow of death by the psalmist. Others have called it the valley of tears. No doubt we've had this experience. We have cried and cried many times in our lives for one reason or another. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, over the loss of a loved one, or in pain due to sickness. We have seen others suffering from debilitating diseases and illnesses. We have had all kinds of challenges that have brought tears to our eyes at times. Certainly, anxiety and trouble to the soul. This proverb helps us out. It informs us of the wisdom of God's children. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge. So, it's in the fear of the Lord that we find our confidence. Now, that sounds contradictory. You mean fear and trembling produces confidence? I think it does. I think you'll agree with the wise writer of Proverbs. As we go on a little bit here, I want to talk about the Lord and his children from this proverb. The confidence and the refuge that we find in the Lord, and the fear of God's children, the fear by which we his children live. Well, we want to point up and point out that the Lord in this psalm, for example, Psalm 23, is all in capitals. So it's the name of Jehovah. It's his name. When Moses asked, "What is your name? What should I say the people of God to the people of God that ask me, who sent you?" And the Lord revealed himself as the great I am. I am has sent you, has sent me to you. So it's the name Jehovah. It's the name I am. And we are not. We cannot go by that name. The best we can do is say, "I was created." But we cannot say, "I am." Well, Paul says, or indicates, "I am what I am by the grace of God." But that's a different way of saying what God said, "I am." Jesus said, "I am" as well. Because it indicates the eternality of God, the sovereignty of our Lord, the greatness of an everlasting King. I am that I am. No one created me, no one made me, no one fashioned me, no one grew me up, took care of me, and made me into the great I am. I am from the beginning to the end. And this name, it's been pointed out, that this name also indicates that he is the God of the covenant, the God that relates to his people, the God, according to the Apostle John in Revelation, that says, "I belong to you and you belong to me. I am your God, you are my people." Now I know that covenant, as it was used in the Old Testament time, had to do with a treaty, had to do with a contract, but I think it's more appropriate for us to understand it according to the unilateral sense that it was made to Abraham, that "I am in relationship with you. I am your friend. I have bound myself to you by covenant," according to promise. And so this name of the Lord, Jehovah, the great I am, elicits that kind of thinking. Especially that kind of thinking as it is in God's people that are cognizant of the covenant, covenant theology, and think along that line. Now, this proverb speaks of the children of the Lord, the children of God. Now, we're not children by nature, right? By nature, we're children of the devil. By nature, we are we contradict the Lord and his ways. We don't want anything to do with him. We don't want to read his word. We don't want to take it into our lives. We don't want to hear it because it judges us, according to nature, according to our nature. That's why people don't want to talk about Jesus. That's why people don't want to hear the word in public anymore. It judges them. It condemns. But by grace we have become the children of the Lord, the children of Jehovah. He adopts us as his children, right? There's a doctrine there, the doctrine of adoption, that whereby we are brought into the family of God. Adopted.
sons and daughters, brothers and sisters of Jesus, according to the new birth. And according to the new birth, we are also transformed more and more throughout our lives into the image of the one with whom we have to do, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truly, we become more and more the children of God. Again, according to the new birth. That is an operation, of course, of grace, of God's Spirit. We have been given resurrection life, newness of life. And I love to say it. I've said it so many times before. It's wonderful. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living, abiding, working in us, who are his children by adoption, by grace. And according to our text in Proverbs, these children fear. They fear the Lord. They fear Jehovah. Now, obviously, it's not the fear of torment. John talks about that. The Apostle John talks about that. It's not the fear. Love, perfect love, casts out the fear of torment. Going to hell because of our sin. You were talking this afternoon after we ate. My daughter built a little city. And it was surrounded. It's a chocolate city, by the way. It's good. And it was surrounded by walls and the people of Israel surrounded it and walked around it. We're talking about that was, of course, Jericho, which I don't think they found any evidence of to this day. So scholars think it never existed. Be that as it may, they were wrong about the Hittite nation, too. I don't think they found Jericho yet. But be that as it may, those people that were in that city feared. They feared the judgment of God. And when the trumpets blew and the Israelites shouted and the walls came a-tumbling down, they feared. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. The people that don't want to hear about Jesus, that don't want to have the Bible read or heard, that don't want to hear true and sound preaching from the Word of God, they don't want to fashion their lives according to this Word, they fear. They're troubled. But that's not the kind of fear by which God's child, God's children, live. But the fear of the Lord does transform them. The fear of the Lord is reverence and awe. It's inspiring. And it changes. It changes them. It molds and it shapes them. It animates their lives in such a way that they want to not only walk in paths of righteousness, sometimes the children of God want to run in the paths of righteousness, want to run into the arms of Jesus. That's how much it animates their lives. That's how much it works in them. Now, this truth that the Lord is Jehovah, he's a covenant God, he's bound over by covenant promise into a relationship that makes him belong to us and we belong to him, walking in the fear of the Lord according to the Word of God, it produces a confidence that the psalmist in Psalm 23 has, That says, the Lord is my shepherd, and no matter what, I am going to be supplied. I'm not going to want. He's going to give to me everything necessary for this life, to live in this world, and in the next life, eternal, everlasting pleasure. Everything is going to be wonderful for me. My future is bright. He's restored my soul. He's restoring my soul. And when I die, if he doesn't return first, when I die, my soul is going to soar to heaven and be perfect. No more ruts of sin. No more desires there. Nothing whatsoever. But in this world, as I mentioned earlier, as the psalmist mentions, according to the truth, nothing but the truth, this world is a valley of tears. It's the way it's described. A valley of the shadow of death. And there's no escaping this. And we're reminded of this often. Even if we live with utopian dreams and schemes, and even if we have that hyper-positive attitude, we see people crying. We notice that everything is not fun and games. That our work is labor. We work by the sweat of our brow. There is emotional upset. There is sickness. There is sin, plenty of sin, instituted by our own government all over the place. Terrible sin. Wickedness on parade. Marriages breaking apart. Children abandoned, troubled, hurting. This is not an easy place. It's a challenging place. It always was, is, and will be. So our confidence cannot come from this world. That's going to fall flat on its face eventually, or time and time again. Our confidence is, as children of God, is in the Lord, right? Must be in the Lord, or it's lost. We know that the devil is out there, roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking to discourage us. Our sin discourages us. It takes us down. It puts us down. We don't like to hear it when we talk. Sometimes we talk in our devotions about sin. We don't like to hear it. Get defensive even at the mere mention of it. Peter, you have some sin problems. I don't want to hear that. That's our response. It's not a good response. It's not an honest response. It's not a helpful one, unless the person is just being critical, and sometimes that's true. But if the person's trying to be helpful and point out a pride problem or whatever, it's helpful. It's humbling. We need a dose of humility, more than one every day, don't we? Well, the pride gets the better of us. So the confidence that we're talking about can't come from this world, can't come from ourselves. It must come from another. It must come and be founded upon the Lord. And if it's founded upon the Lord, then our future is bright. Then all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Then we can say, I have strength. I am strong. I have a strong confidence because I base it upon my God and His promise, His covenant promise towards me. And not on some uncertain thing in the present or some uncertain dream or hope for the future. My plan is to rest assured in God every day of my life. That's my plan, and that gives me confidence. And I know my future is glowing. I think of Job. Now, I've mentioned this before. Job lost everything. There are people that lose everything in life. Job is not alone. May not be exactly according to the way of Job, and there's another message there, a deeper message, of course. But did Job really lose his family, his home, his friends, his health? Did he really lose those things? Do people today really lose those things? Yeah, right? Of course. And so if I put confidence in the things of this world and or in myself, oh, that's a sure recipe for sadness and disappointment. So what do these things cause me to do? These troubles that I see out there and sometimes visit my life, oftentimes visit my life every day, as a matter of fact, in one way or another. I flee to the Lord. I take refuge. My refuge is in Him, as our text points out there. The children of God who fear the Lord find a refuge. Now, a refuge in the Old Testament, in the Bible, is a high tower or a hilltop or a fortified city. And that's what God is called again and again in the Psalms. Psalm 46, a very favorite psalm for many. Luther wrote a hymn on it and others as well. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I cried to the Lord, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And you notice from the psalmist here again and again, and from the proverb as well, that it's not my faith that's the refuge. It's not me, or it's not the church to which I belong. It's God Himself. The child of God who fears the Lord Jehovah, puts his refuge, runs for refuge to Him. He has become my high tower, my fortified city in this place. This place that surrounds me. And surrounds me with evil, surrounds me with bad. I look and I say, even if I'm having a good day or a good week or a good month or a good year, the trial that takes me down is coming. Now, is that being negative or something? Or is that being real? I don't see how people can think that way, any other way, but the way I'm saying it. I mean, there are 5 billion people in this world. How many people are living the good life and having a good day every single day? No trouble, no heartaches. Surrounded by nothing but good. How many people of the 5 billion people can say that? Even if you, as doped up on drugs, can say that, it's not true. For 99 and 44, 100% of the people that are crying every day and suffering, That high, it's just hype. The real thing is what the psalmist says, I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have enemies that surround me. There is no possible hope for me for happiness and gladness apart from the Lord. So every day I have to flee to Him. He is my refuge and my strength. He is my confidence. He's building my future. And it's bright. That's the best part of my life. Yeah, I have some good things in my life, and I praise the Lord for them. But again, He's provided them all. Glory be to God. If I have anything happy in my life, if I can smile, if I have a good day, praise the Lord. He's given it to me. And so I enjoy this confidence. I am strong in the Lord. I take refuge in Him because I fear Him. Now again, it's not fear of torment, is it? I'm not afraid that God is going to send us to hell any chance He gets, if He finds any inconsistency in us, if there is any fault or flaw, not in His child. He might discipline, He might chastise, it might get a little difficult for us. We might have to receive His rebukes and such. But my confidence and my strength, my strong confidence, is fearing Him. Now, by fear, we mean adoration, reverence, awe. I am in awe of the work of salvation that is in my life and in your life. Again, I've mentioned this before, but I never tire of mentioning it. The whole world is against this. The gospel, the truth, your Christianity, if you will. The whole world is against the real, true gospel. The compromised gospel, the gospel that is popular, that's not the gospel, but the truth. The whole world is against the truth. Half the country now, over half the country, if you said that homosexuality is a sin or promiscuity, you're just old-fashioned. That's judgmental. You are condemned. And if you mention Jesus in other parts of the world, well, see what happens. I am in awe that I am saved, that I hold on to this truth without fear of contradiction. Come what may. I'm not afraid of them. Humanly speaking, yes. But my spirit, my heart, I am thoroughly Christian and will always be that way. They'll have to brainwash me, drug me and brainwash me and say it over and over again for me to deny Jesus, and that would not be real. That is awesome. That is awe-inspiring. That is wonderful. And the fact that all my sins, not just some of them, not the worst ones or whatever, all of them are forgiven. Washed by the blood of Jesus, that is truly. I understand that because I see my sin and I'm terrorized by the sins. I'm certainly troubled by them, but the fear of the Lord, the inspiration of God, the dependency on Him allows me to look at my sin and see that it's been covered by the blood of another. I preach a sermon like I did this morning that talks about the remnant, described as a lodge in the Garden of Cucumbers, the whole nation of Israel, daughter of Zion, which is Jerusalem. The church of the Old Testament is described as Sodom and like Gomorrah. That's the description. It's awesome to see how God keeps safe that little group, that motley crew, if you will, of his own. That inspired. And he does it throughout history to the present day. That is what the fear of the Lord produces in us. That awe, according to, over our salvation, over the forgiveness of our sins, over the way the Lord works in history and in each and every one of our lives, so that all the promises of God are going to come to fruition, and he is working according to all things. He's working according to good for us. Everything is going to work out, and our future is bright. The fear of the Lord understands this and gets the confidence to continue on. The fear of the Lord, when we see what's going on around us and we experience the troubles ourselves, that they're brought close to us into our lives, into our very homes, into our lives, into our hearts. The fear of the Lord causes us to flee to him. First thought, to flee to God in our time of need, to find safety and comfort and carefulness and kindness and mercy in God. Now, I think all of us can admit, as children of God, that our confidence sometimes ebbs. We sometimes succumb to sin. More often than we would like to admit, I'm sure. Why is that? Why do we succumb to temptation? Why do we fear man rather than God? It's because we haven't developed the fear of the Lord. Because we have neglected. We got busy. We've forgotten. We've turned our head around. We need to cultivate this. We need to, as his children who have confidence, strong confidence in the Lord, we need to cultivate the fear of the Lord. It will produce awe and inspiration and desire to go to him, to find our strength in him. And so when I fall, when I tremble, when I lose confidence, I realize that the fear of the Lord needs to be developed some more. If I feared God perfectly, if I were in awe of him as I ought to be, I would never lose confidence, never lose strength. And so, dear people, we need to fear the Lord, grow in our confidence, flee to him in times of trouble, take refuge in him, depend upon him to work out all things according to his pleasure, and to be great and wonderful in our lives. so that we can, with the psalmist, be ever grateful, ever confident. And say with the wise writer, Proverbs, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we do pray that thou would find us fearing thee as your children. Find us, O Lord, fleeing to thee, taking refuge in thee, for that refuge is strong, is wonderful, it cannot be overwhelmed or overcome. No one can seize the high tower of God. No one can break down that fortified city and ravage us. May we take this to heart, truly to heart. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge in Jehovah God, and Jesus saves. Bless us, Lord, bless us, strongly bless us en route to glory. For thy great name's sake, we pray, lead us in that everlasting way every day. We ask thee, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn 56, hymn 5-6.